The shark swung over, and the old man saw his eye was not alive, and then he swung over once again, wrapping himself in two loops of the rope. The old man knew that he was dead, but the shark would not accept it. Then, on his back, with his tail lashing and his jaws clicking, the shark plowed over the water as a speedboat does. The water was white where his tail beat it, and three-quarters of his body was clear above the water when the rope came taut, shivered, and then snapped. The shark lay quiet for a little while on the surface, and the old man watched him. Then he went down very slowly. "He took about 40 pounds," the old man said aloud. "He took my harpoon, too, and all the rope," he thought. "And now my fish bleeds again, and there will be others." He did not like to look at the fish any more since he had been mutilated. When the fish had been hit, it was as though he himself were hit. "But I killed the shark that hit my fish," he thought, "and he was the biggest dentuso that I have ever seen. And God knows that I have seen big ones." "It was too good to last," he thought. "I wish it had been a dream now, and that I had never hooked the fish and was alone in bed on the newspapers." "But man is not made for defeat," he said. "A man can be destroyed, but not defeated." "I am sorry that I killed the fish, though," he thought. "Now the bad time is coming, and I do not even have the harpoon. The dentuso is cruel and able and strong and intelligent. But I was more intelligent than he was." "Perhaps not," he thought. "Perhaps I was only better armed." "Don't think, old man," he said aloud. "Sail on this course and take it when it comes." "But I must think," he thought, "because it is all I have left, that and baseball. I wonder how the great DiMaggio would have liked the way I hit him in the brain. It was no great thing," he thought. "Any man could do it. But do you think my hands were as great a handicap as the bone spurs?" "I cannot know. I never had anything wrong with my heel except the time the stingray stung it when I stepped on him when swimming and paralyzed the lower leg and made the unbearable pain." "Think about something cheerful, old man," he said. "Every minute now you are closer to home. You sail lighter for the loss of 40 pounds. He knew quite well the pattern of what could happen when he reached the inner part of the current, but there was nothing to be done now. "Yes, there is," he said aloud. "I can lash my knife to the butt of one of the oars." So he did that with the tiller under his arm and the sheet of the sail under his foot. "Now," he said, "I am still an old man, but I am not unarmed.